Kyle Sondland and Herbert Konins are founding partners of Security Token Group. All opinions expressed by them or guests on this podcast are solely their opinions and do not represent the views of Security Token Group or its subsidiaries. You should not take any opinion expressed on the show as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow any investment strategy. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning into this week's episode of the Security Token Show. We're coming to you from our studio here in sunny Miami, Florida, and I'm your host, Kyle Sondland, joined by my co-host and business partner, Herbert Konings.
Glad to be here.
And now, before we get started with the show, we would like to share a word from our new sponsor, because this episode of the Security Token Show is brought to you by Mount Pelerin, the expert in asset tokenization technology and services. Now, Mount Pelerin has pioneered the security token space back in 2018 by creating the world first tokenized shares, the MPS share token, which was offered to the public via an STO held by the company and is now freely trading every day on Uniswap. Mount Pelerin develops the Bridge Protocol, which is the leading open-sourced asset tokenization platform, which runs more than 100 live security tokens today on Ethereum, Polygon, Binance Smart Chain, and XDAI, including the tokenized assets of Realty, the American real estate tokenization leader. Mount Pelerin provides all-in-one tokenization services, including technical platforms, legal structures, investor, KYC, AML onboarding, bank account opening, and fund collection ramps for both fiat and cryptocurrencies. If you're interested in any of those services, you can get in touch with them through their website. That is mtpelerin.com. Mount Pelerin, check it out there.
Thank you, as always, to our wonderful sponsors for making this show possible. And for those of you who are new tuning in, here's what you can expect on today's show. We're going to start off with our companies of the week, where Kyle and I, we each pick one company that we thought made the biggest news in the last week. And of course, then we're going to move into our top five things that you need to know to stay to date in security tokens. And then we're going to move into more industry news from me, followed by some security token offering updates and market updates from Kyle, ending with our main topic today, which is how you can manage investors on the blockchain. So Kyle, with that, why don't we get into the show? Who is your company of the week for episode 96?
Episode 96. Now, my company of the week this week is the largest bank in Singapore. Ooh. We're talking about DBS. They have $330 billion in assets under management, and they have officially launched their first tokenized bond. This is huge news because they're recognizing the opportunities here of tokenization, and they're going to be launching just with a small little test pilot. It's about a $15 million in Singapore dollars, about 11.3 million US dollars in bonds, but they're actually going to be issuing that on chain through the DBS Digital Exchange, which is their own internal platform that allows them to tokenize, custody, and exchange any assets. They launched this in December of 2020. They're now coming forward with tokenized products. They've got a bunch of institutions and accredited investors signed up to the platform, and they have officially launched their very first bond issuance on chain. This is very exciting. We have another huge bank fully jumping in, getting involved, and now issuing a product to the public. We're no longer in that test phase, and because of that, they deserve my company of the week.
Absolutely, I think they do. I mean, security tokens are clearly here to stay. They're here now. They're in Singapore for sure, with their largest banks now getting actively involved in the tokenization game. So to see new products actually going live means they're actually sticking to their word and they're leveraging tokenization for the future.
You love to see it.
My company of the week out is also a bank. It's actually a recurring winner on the show because they've done a lot of pioneering since 2019. I'm talking about none other than Societe Generale, one of the largest banks in the world and in France. And specifically, their Forge division, which is focused on security tokens, has since been, as I mentioned, for several years now, been doing exactly what DBS has been doing, trialing and experimenting with bond issuances. In fact, they've even worked with the Banque de France, that's a central bank there, to leverage a digital stable coin for a euro in order to issue their own bonds and other tokenized offerings. And now the Forge division has officially launched their CAST white paper. So that's their compliant architecture for security tokens, CAST, And it's an open source white paper that anyone can go read. I highly recommend you check it out to go learn about how to operate security tokens in a regulated environment. And that's exactly what Société Générale plans to do with services launching in 2022 for third parties. And meanwhile, you can go check it out. A little quick highlight is that they focus specifically on the registrar. Of course, this is known as sometimes as a transfer agent, but ultimately the centralized party that's actually liable and responsible for making sure the records are kept correctly. And then they also focus on oracles, a key component for blockchains to enable third-party data providers to add information, whether it be compliance or asset level or otherwise, to the blockchain and to the security token. But of course, I can't sum it all up. Go check it out for yourself. That's the CAST framework out now.
Awesome job from Société Générale. They're very forward thinking. We've got a bunch of investment banks here that are moving forward in the tokenization space. They recognize the benefits and we see the wave is coming.
Exciting times ahead. And with that, you'll be ready for our top five. Let's do it.
Kicking off article number one of our top five news segment comes from Club Necaxa, which is a team in the Liga MX, in the Mexican Soccer League, one of the most watched soccer leagues in the world, and they have officially launched an NFT security token.
It's a big deal. This way you might be confused. It's an NFT and it's a security token. So it's the first time ever that a sports team, specifically a football or a soccer team for those of you in the US, is getting tokenized. And those of, the one person I should say that owns the NFT is in fact going to be a true club owner, which means they have equity rights, they have revenue rights, and they actually have other benefits, including, you know, some digital art and the other things that come with the NFT itself.
So they're tokenizing 1% of the soccer team via an NFT, but they're taking all of the compliance requirements needed because it is a security token. You're getting an asset here, so you have to KYC, AML, and accreditation as long as you're here in the US. You're gonna then be able to buy a share of that soccer team and then trade that on a secondary market through the NFT. So fascinating stuff here. An ownership of a soccer team getting tokenized. It's happening now.
That's right. And next week, hopefully we'll let you know, because the sale will be concluded, who will be the lucky owner of the NFT. Next up, we have INX, which for those of you who don't know, they recently completed a STO for over $85 million. And with that $85 million proceeds, they said that they intend to acquire Open Finance Network, one of the prominent security token marketplaces here in the United States. And it's official, the SEC has approved the successful acquisition by INX of OFN. So we can expect some big news over there, but it doesn't stop because INX also used their recent proceeds to buy ILS Brokers, which is a Forex trader with, I think you said 50 different relationships to me earlier around the space. These are critical acquisitions for brokers in the space for developing an infrastructure, especially here in the United States.
On top of that, they're actually going to be listing the INX token, which represents 40% of a revenue share in their exchange platform, which trades both security tokens and crypto. It's going to be listed in July. So they're kicking that off alongside their crypto trading platform to over 7,200 investors in 75 different countries. This is going to be groundbreaking to bring access not only to the cryptocurrency space, but to the security token space through their publicly registered security token, which will trade to retail investors. All exciting things there.
We'll definitely be keeping an eye on this one and keep you updated on the show.
And moving into number three, we've got the SEC versus Ripple. This is one of the highest profile cases. You certainly have covered a lot here on the show. And the SEC took another slight L here, despite the fact that it seemed like Ripple was kind of drowning at one point.
That's right. We're calling it the case of the year because whatever happens here could potentially have precedent on the crypto markets as a whole. We're talking about a company that supposedly, according to the SEC, sold unregistered securities north of $1 billion in value. So it's a pretty big case. And in this case, the little loss, the little, you know, small victory you could say that Ripple has here is that the SEC has been trying to get their hands on hundreds of what they call privileged documents that Ripple is holding onto. And the court has recently favored Ripple in saying that the SEC will not get access to these documents in favor of their case. So that potentially could spell gloom for the SEC in their case, but really it doesn't signify anything on the outcome. We'll see a most likely a settlement or some kind of, you know, result in the coming year here. And it's definitely, like I said, going to likely have an impact on the cryptocurrency markets.
And the interesting thing here was that one of the main pieces of arguments that the Ripple team used in defending themselves here was that they talked about the inaction that the SEC has used over the last 8 years in not defining what a tokenized security might be. So they actually used the fact that the SEC hasn't been very clear in their definitions, and the judge used that, I'm sure, alongside many other different pieces of the argument to suggest that that is in case the truth there. So fascinating to see how this might impact the SEC's definitions on digital securities and a lot of these different pieces moving forward, because potentially inaction isn't good enough.
Small win for Ripple, but we'll see where the case goes. Moving on to number four, Fusong out in Labuan in Malaysia. They are one of the leading security token marketplaces out there, and they have officially listed a DeFi company onto the platform. This means that you don't just go to a DeFi protocol, you could actually get exposure to the revenues of a DeFi company called Level 01. And they've been very successful to date, launching last year, I believe. And they have done to date $16 million in revenue already. So this is not a small startup here that you can get exposure to on the Fusong exchange.
70% year-over-year growth over the last 3 years. Level 01 is definitely a fascinating platform. They're giving exposure to the DeFi ecosystem here. And this is coming on the heels of delisting the Spice VC token. So they're coming in with a new asset to be able to invest in. This is fascinating stuff, and I think it's a great look for Fusong, who's looking to break into a new sector here with DeFi and allowing investors to get exposure to it.
I don't think it's open to U.S. investors, but I do remember reading that it is open to retail investors. So this is going to be an interesting one to watch as well. And finally, number five, we've got T0 making an announcement that they potentially could be SPACing. Is that right, Kyle?
Yeah. According to a new CoinDesk article, T0 has been looking for funding for quite a little while now, despite the fact that they raised over $100 million in their security token sale a couple of years ago. It seems that they're now exploring new financing options, including a potential acquisition. If you remember, Pelion Venture Partners actually acquired the T0 company from Overstock to help them figure out how they could either get new financing or merge or go on to the public markets. And they're still exploring all of those options, including, as I mentioned, an acquisition. The headline of this article was T0 is looking for a seller. And so potentially it's all positive, as a lot of their internal statements and their public statements have been about just looking for strategic partners and looking for new financing options, whether it's via a SPAC, whether it's via public financing or private financing. We'll still have to see. But interesting stuff from T0. Does this mean that they're out of cash?
Who knows? We'll, of course, keep you updated on the show. But that's the top five things that you need to know this week. Let's move on to the news.
Let's do it.
Have you ever heard of the Boston Security Token Exchange? It's a project by T0 and Box Group, and they've been applying to the SEC for some time now for approval to become a blockchain-based security token exchange that offers potentially faster settlement, better transparency, and improved market capabilities for early-stage companies that are considered thinly traded. In order to launch, the SEC needs to approve their proposal, which for several years now has been rejected despite revisions. Of course, in this process, the public is able to opine and offer comments for submissions to the SEC, so feel free to go voice your support after you read their latest proposal. And next up, we have an announcement from two major European security token players, Archax Exchange out of the UK and DigiShares out of Denmark. And they've teamed up to enable DigiShares issue tokens to be supported by the Archax Security Token Marketplace, which is, of course, launching imminently, as we all know. And unfortunately, nothing else can be discerned from the announcement other than they plan to support each other. And we also saw leading European issuance platform Tokeny announced support for digital euro through Monerium. You see, the Monerium IBAN solution allows investors to send euros directly between their bank accounts and blockchain wallets, and Tokeny has added this fiat gateway solution within their Billboard trading platform to allow investors to express their intentions and trade security token pairs using the digital euro. And this is, of course, something desired by their mostly European clients and enhances the trading capabilities of many of the security tokens on the Billboard platform. And moving on, we also learn more about a newer player on the block. I'm referring to Pixelplek, which, you know, claims that they have already helped five STOs raise over a $500 million. And they've given an expansive overview of their platform on the Tokenizer. So check that out if you're curious about Pixelplex. And big, big news from Cointelegraph during Crypto Week in Miami. The research team there released a full 90-plus page report on security tokens featuring extensive information on the industry and its progress. Of course, there's also a full-fledged overview of the security token group in there, so thanks for the shout-out, Cointelegraph. And definitely go give this report a read, folks. I also recommend two more articles to check out this week. Schwab Capital wrote a great piece on why private security markets will grow because of tokenization, and it's a well-written overview of how the security token markets have started to bridge retail investors to private securities. And if you like Europe, the other article is a very thorough industry analysis and growth projection of the security token industry in the continent. Europe is supposedly poised to grow to over $1 trillion in market volume in 2026, according to the researchers. You'll love to hear it. And finally, we can't end this segment without, of course, covering Peter Gaffney's Tokenize This series, which each week dives into a use case for the tokenization. And for the 20th edition this week, we've got jewelry in the spotlight. He points out that the industry could benefit from the ability to raise funds for purchase of rare jewels or jewel mining operations. And you can even use NFTs to demonstrate ownership in specific jewel pieces. Meanwhile, token investors can even get access to a whole new coveted investment class that was previously impossible to access, and they can even redeem potentially the NFT for the physical diamond. And of course, there's always the potential of cash distributions if the underlying jewels are sold by the original owner. So I think that's yet another great example of tokenization, Peter. And that's all I've got for you for the industry news. Now let's go over to Kyle and get the latest security token offering and market updates.
Our first security token update comes from Exodus, the cryptocurrency wallet that raised $75 million in a Reg A Plus crowdfunding campaign. The firm sold Class A common stock in the form of a security token, which is rumored to be listing on the T0 and other marketplaces around the world. In a recent press release, Exodus confirmed that it will be issuing the exit tokens on the Algorand blockchain through the Securitize platform. This is another big win for Algorand, which is quickly looking like the leading competitor to Ethereum with regard to tokenized securities. Exodus is also planning to launch custody services for security tokens, including T0 and other assets, which provides yet another technical component and integration between the security token industry and the traditional crypto world. I'm also hearing rumors that these tokens could list as soon as this summer, so we'll keep our eyes peeled for that soon. Moving on to some new security token offerings coming to market, we have a few additional terms from some of the offerings that we mentioned earlier in the episode. First off, starting with DBS, which is the Singapore bank with over $330 billion in assets under management, it's launching its first tokenized offering, starting with a small $15 million bond. The terms weren't disclosed, but we do know that the digital bond offering was done by private placement on the DBS Digital Exchange, confirming that the firm is building its own platform to fundraise and trade security tokens. Another innovative model comes from the club Necaxa, a soccer team in the highest division of Mexico, which has announced that it is selling 1% of the team's equity in the form of a security token NFT. The team is also essentially selling the digital artwork that provides the owner with a legal right to 1% of the soccer club. While it is an NFT because we're talking about the digital art, it is important to remember that this is an asset-backed investment, which means that it must be treated like a security, including leveraging KYC, AML, and accreditation in the sale. The token is being sold on the NFT platform OpenSea, but requires investor whitelisting before a bid can be made. Finally, I want to turn our attention to the Crypto Asset Rating Incorporated, an issuance platform that is issuing its own security token backed by Class B stock in the company through the Reg S fundraising exemption. This looks like a new company that's looking to tokenize and prove their model by launching the first one itself. So fingers crossed that they can successfully bring a product to market. We'll keep you updated with more terms coming soon. And before we dive into the secondary trading market, we have a very interesting market update from the OSL Digital Securities, which is a Hong Kong brokerage and security token exchange, which first conducted its successful blockchain capital token trades this week. And this is the first security token to be traded via a regulated digital asset trading platform operator in Hong Kong, and the first time, to my knowledge, that the BCAP token has traded on a platform other than Open Finance. OSL was the only firm in Hong Kong licensed to trade security tokens, and this initial BCAP transaction marks the start of what they believe is a long and steady line of tokenized securities and other financial products to enter the digital asset ecosystem in Hong Kong. This is exciting news because BCAP is the highest demand asset on the Open Finance platform, but many investors have been scared away due to the illiquidity on the platform. If additional exchanges can bring stronger market infrastructure to the asset, we could see a very active token here, which is great to see. The final piece of news that I have this week is from Security Token Market, who published the market report for tokenized real estate for the month of May. The market has grown tremendously now that we've added over 90 new tokenized real estate properties. The market cap is pushing 35 million, and we're seeing millions in trading volume now per month. We've switched up that market structure of the report, and we now sort the tokens by three sets of top three categories: the largest market cap, the biggest gainers, and the highest trading volume. For this month, we saw two usuals at the top of the market cap, with the St. Regis Aspen along with the Ooston property topping the charts. However, we saw Appoline Street pass Fullerton for the largest realty property at over $775,000. It was also the biggest gainer this week, up 42% this month, followed by familiar faces Schaefer Highway and Andover Drive, both up over 20%. And then a few more familiar faces for the largest volume, with Appoline, Fullerton, and Schaefer rounding out the top three there. But you can check out the report for more information. Finally, let's move into our secondary market trading segment. As always, all news and pricing data is sourced from stomarket.com. So our market cap is now nearing that 1 billion mark, currently at 735 million. We saw some strong performances by many of the new real estate properties, with East 71st Street in Cleveland, Coralville Street, and Bliss Street in Detroit as our biggest gainers, up 18%, 15%, and 12% respectively. In fact, realty properties led the league this week, making up the full top 10 highest gains. Teaserop also had a strong week, up almost 10% to $6.30. Unfortunately, Mount Pelerin and Brilio were our two biggest losers, both down double-digit percentages on Uniswap. The total volume since we last spoke was over 4 million for this market, which is healthy and great to see, and with yet another exciting week in the markets. Do your own research and hit me up on Twitter. Send me all those hot takes. And with that, I think it's time to move into our main topic this week. So let's take it back to the studio to hear more.
And getting into our main topic for this episode, number 96, we're going to be getting into the improvements and the benefits of managing investors on the blockchain. But of course, before we can do that, Kyle, I think we all need to get on the same page about how things were before.
Definitely.
And before, things actually used to be way before on paper certificates, where we would know that I own this amount of stock in this company. Today, it's more likely being done on an Excel sheet or a spreadsheet or a database somewhere, which means you have no access or transparency about who owns what as an investor. And as an issuer, you actually potentially are going to go into multiple partners, whether it be brokers or custodians or transfer agents, especially when you go public, in terms of managing all of this information, record keeping, if you will, of your investors. And this is convoluted, it's archaic, which is why the blockchain is here.
And so managing your investors in a digital solution, when we're looking at blockchain-based management and cap table management, is incredibly much more efficient. You're going to be taking the investor information, the KYC information, their location, potentially even their jurisdictional requirements of what they can and cannot invest in, and you can actually program that into the smart contracts of the program that you're trading on. And that will allow, instead of requiring somebody to manually check and make sure that you are who you say you are and that your documents are legit and that you're allowed to do what you want to do, and then also that the counterparty that you're working with, the person trying to buy or sell from, is also allowed to trade with you and that they're doing all of these things properly. That's an incredibly manual process, and that's what we've seen with traditional banks today have so many people on the floor, right? There's a lot of compliance staff in all these different banks just making sure that this information is legit. Fortunately, by having all these rights programmed into the blockchain and into the smart contracts, we can actually just verify this stuff programmatically, allowing for a much easier management of your current crop of investors, but really allowing it to scale much larger. You can take on many more investors, not only in your own jurisdiction, but bring in investors around the world, which is a fascinating concept, and done at this scale has never before been possible.
Absolutely. And furthermore, the blockchain provides more more capabilities because, as you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of different parties involved in this, which means there's concerns about data integrity. Who owns what? Who knows what, more importantly? And is it accurate? Well, on the blockchain, we all know it's an immutable ledger and actually is perfect data integrity. So now all the parties involved, whether it be shareholders or the issuer or the custodian or the attorney or the accountant or anybody else involved in the picture, they now have a full understanding and perfect information about the shareholder registry.
And this is really, really important because it allows regulators to feel much more comfortable in onboarding more countries and more investors from around the world into these platforms. Because if you don't have any information around where the investment's coming from or who's trading or buying and selling, of course they're going to be more skeptical and more hesitant to innovate. Whereas if we have a blockchain-based ledger that, as you said, has this data integrity, that's got this information that's immutable, the regulators or any centralized party could go through and actually check and make sure that things are following and happening the way that they should be, that licenses are being appropriately managed, and that the investors themselves are being safely protected from themselves and from others in the investment structure here. And that's fascinating and very important about blockchain. And again, one of those reasons why blockchain will save so much efficiency for both speed and cost for banks and settlement firms, because they don't need to necessarily manage all this so hands-on anymore.
Those hordes of people that you were talking about earlier in compliance, they're all over the place. They're there doing manual wires to thousands of investors, figuring out based on the spreadsheet who owns what and how much, and God only knows if that spreadsheet is outdated and has wrong information, which can lead to a lot of issues. With the blockchain, we of course do not have to worry about that. In fact, for an issuer, it's really usually just a click of a button, because in the smart contracts, on the blockchain registry, we know exactly who owns what. And when you decide to do a dollar distribution or $1 million of a distribution, pro rata, that will be sent on chain to all the different investors. Imagine how many hours of laboring, of doing actual wires and paying dividends we just saved thanks to this. And all of this because it's now more scalable, you can have more investors, and it makes all this possible. Kyle, I don't think that's the most exciting thing about managing your investors on the blockchain, right?
What do you think that is?
I'm going to have to go with the fact that I finally own my security again. So as an investor, remember I was telling you about how we get access to a paper certificate before, and now that's gone? Well, the token brings it back. So we can finally go out and say, hey, Kyle, we had a great dinner. I know you're interested in my company. I don't need to go to the board. I don't need to go to an attorney. I don't need to go to really anybody. I'm using my token, and he's got a compliant wallet that's verified. Great. I can send him some shares. Here you go, Kyle. And we're done. What a beautiful thing. The background is updated. The issuer gets updated information. They didn't need to approve anything. A dividend is sent. It's now going to him. And no one needed to be told that I had made this transfer. Now that is truly, truly disruptive.
Yeah, it brings so many great opportunities with governance, with dividend payouts, with ease of transfer, self-custody. By leveraging the blockchain, we need that, because we need that centralized registry, we need that immutable ledger, that record of the shares, exactly who has what, in order to build out all this programmatic benefits. Like, as we said, with a governance structure, you could very easily take the shares that you own, that you have, and be able to vote and make decisions based off of it. You don't need any of these weird, you know, centralized brokers that are just making widespread voting rights or voting changes for, you know, the behalf of all of their users on their platform, any of these weird things like that. Even dividends, as you said, don't need to be manual. They could be very easily set in an escrow and distributed out through smart contracts based off of your proportional shares. There's just so many benefits here. That's only the tip of the iceberg.
Definitely just scratching the surface, I know. But hopefully, Kyle, everyone watching here knows now or agrees with us why we think all securities and equities are eventually going to get tokenized and put on the blockchain, because these are truly 0-to-1 changes that when they happen, there's no reason for going back.
So I think this is a pretty productive main topic. I think that's about a wrap for me.
Let's end the show. Thank you all for watching and tuning in, listening if you're on the air there. And of course, tune in next week on Friday. Hit us up on LinkedIn or Twitter. We're always available and happy to chat. We've got the What's Drippin' newsletter that comes out on Mondays with all the latest information as well. And we've got the Security Token Speakeasy on Thursdays. That's our Clubhouse channel that you can tune in at 5 p.m. to talk with other guests in the industry about this episode.
Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.
Happy tokenizing.